Ray Giudice, who does a phenomenal job, one of the best lawyers in our town, and one of the most intelligent fellows when stuff like this comes up. Ray, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Hey, guys. How's everybody?
We're doing great. Tell us what's at stake this morning during the sentencing of the Atlanta Public School cheating trial, and what the judge is basically, because we have it at no volume, and he's just carrying on, and we're kind of fascinated by the whole thing this morning.
Well, let me start off by saying I've known Judge Jerry Baxter for almost all the 30 years of my law practice. I've known him to be an intelligent guy, but who has a distinct lack of patience. I think anybody who's watched this trial has seen him sort of act like the cranky old guy when your car is on his yard. But I like him. He's a smart guy. And essentially what's come down to is that 18 months ago, all of these educators were offered a plea bargain. Underline the word bargain, because when they turned it down, these 10 that went to trial, the bargain came off the table, and the other defendants took the plea bargain, which was essentially 12 to 24 months probation and a small fine. And then they went through 6 months of under oath testimony where, as far as Judge Baxter is concerned, and the 12 jurors who voted unanimously after 4 or 5 days of deliberation, 6 months of testimony of hundreds of witnesses, that these 10 defendants, to varying degrees, committed the offenses that were, they're called RICO because it was racketeering. And basically, it means they planned it. They cooperated. They all had a motive of what they were trying to do, which was to earn these bonuses and promotions under the system by advancing the kids by inflating or correcting their test scores. And the evidence, as far as Judge Baxter, is clear. And what Judge Baxter has been sending signals to these lawyers and their clients for the last 2 weeks since the verdict came back was, I want to hear somebody admit responsibility, not just the lawyers say that they feel sorry about what happened. You know, that's sort of the kid who says, yeah, I'm sorry I got caught. And that's essentially what he's been hearing. He sent a signal down clear when he put all of them in custody immediately after sentencing, which you normally see in a crime of violence, someone who's been convicted of armed robbery, et cetera, but usually on a crime like this, folks get out on an appeal bond or they stay on their bail bond until sentencing a couple weeks later. So he sent a loud and clear message 2 weeks ago to these lawyers and their clients, y'all better come in here and either work something out with the DA that I'll accept, or you better accept responsibility. And he is handing down stiff sentences. I think the first two folks or three folks that were sentenced were 20 to serve 7, 20 to serve 7, 20 to serve 5. That's state prison time. Make sure everyone understands. That's not county jail. That's not down at Rice Street watching TV and having your family come visit you twice a week. That is going to be on some prison in the southeast or northeast corner of this state, and it's going to be rough. So he is really handing down sentences. 2,000 hours of community service, large fines. He did just sentence one, I think it was to 5 to do 1, which will be county time. So she'll get some day-for-day credit, and that will move along pretty quickly. But he is clearly aggravated. He just gave Ms. Jordan, I'm watching on the news, 5 to serve 2. He's also rejecting what's called first offender status for many of these defendants. They're eligible for it because they have no prior criminal history. First offender status in layperson's terms mean if you successfully complete your sentence, the conviction comes off your record. It still shows an arrest, but the disposition says not convicted.
So let me ask you, Ray, Ray Giudice with us. And don't forget, you can reach Ray because he's the best at what he does at 404-964-4185, 404-964-4185. What we were under the impression of is if they admit guilt, they can walk. They can deal with home sentencing, probation, community service. They will not go to prison. All they have to do is admit their guilt. Is that not the case this morning?
Well, it's clearly not happening. Now, that let me just tell you, and again, I know a lot of these lawyers intimately. They're very close friends. I try to triple homicide with 3 of these folks that are in this trial. The last 2 weeks has been a never-ending publicity campaign by several of the lawyers, guys I like and respect, of community leaders and community activists and former judges and ambassadors to the United Nations on the courthouse steps and in the courtroom to impact Judge Baxter's feelings on this. And I think Judge Baxter, and I'm watching him right now, just blister, an excellent lawyer, and just he's saying, look, I sat here for 6 months and listened to these people not admit responsibility when they had the chance, maybe even perjure themselves on the witness stand. And I'm in control of this courtroom, and I think that these young children were harmed, potentially permanently harmed. You know, former Governor Perdue was a very powerful witness early on in the trial, and may have passed everybody's memory, where he literally broke down in tears on the witness stand. It was under Governor Perdue's term that he asked the District Attorney's Office of Fulton County, Paul Howard, to conduct this investigation. And Sonny Perdue was crying just how strongly he felt that the children had been cheated by these promotions, basically moving upwards grade to grade without learning anything. And the other part of that is that there are other kids that were qualified who didn't have their grades changed, who maybe didn't get that scholarship or maybe didn't get that prestigious award because kids who had inflated grades. Again, through no fault of the kids, you cannot fault the children.
No, God,
no. It's the adults that committed the crime.
Well, it's mind-boggling that the people you put in the highest level of taking care of your kids would fail them this badly. But again, back to the very simple, what I was reading. So they are not eligible to come forward and admit guilt today and get off. That's not happening. So
Well, let's break that down. We're not hearing that. What we're hearing is the lawyers sort of prepackaged their client's position. We're sorry this happened. We feel badly about it. But nobody's throwing themselves up at the podium. I don't see any of the defendants addressing the court. I only see the lawyers addressing the court. And that's not what Judge Baxter wanted. Mm-hmm. He wanted these folks to come up and say,
So why aren't they doing it? If they could keep him out of if they could keep him out of jail, that's what none of us understand. If he keeps you out of jail, keeps you with your kids, keeps you on house arrest, whatever it is, why aren't they doing it?
Look, I mean, why did these people turn down straight probation and a small fine 18 months ago? I have to respect that in their heart.
Okay, I get it.
They believe that they're not guilty.
All right,
I mean, these people have been, maybe some of these people are even bankrupt by now. They haven't worked.
Wow.
6, 8, 10 months starting from a teacher's salary, and I'm not.
Yeah, their lives are. Their lives.
And they'll never teach again. Felony conviction.
And we're just updating you on the Atlanta Public School cheating trial. It's the biggest scandal in history of obviously, you know, any school system in history. And it's finishing up today with the sentencing. All right, really quick, because we got to get to a couple of things. Thabo and Pero Antich. Take it from the top in your eyes as quickly as you can. And the videos that are out, what do they mean?
Well, I'm looking at this video, and I don't realize why there has to be a baton to the leg when the fellow is basically down and pops all over the place. Now, fortunately, the officers are trained to use escalating force, which starts with the baton, goes to the taser, and then goes to the firearm. So at least we didn't escalate immediately to the firearm, which we're seeing, sadly and tragically, in cases all over the country where there's no, you know, lower-level use of force. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, why he was down, there's officers everywhere. It does seem to be an unnecessary use of the baton, which clearly caused a significant injury. Now, what the NBA is looking into, I'm not really sure. The cause of action, if anybody has a lawsuit for non-necessary force, would be the player, not the NBA. But I think the NBA is probably getting some resources on it so they can determine whether or not any punishment is necessary for the player, or if he should get a clean bill of health for his behavior.
All right. What do you think, real quick, the Charleston situation? Were you blown away by that video?
Yeah. I mean, it's just frightening. It's just frightening because every officer has a radio on his shoulder, and he can get on that radio or go back in the car and say, hey, I've got a 6'3" bald guy running down the street, white shirt, black pants, unarmed. Can you go get him for me? I'm going to stay right here. I mean, it's not that complicated to call ahead. I see this all the time in these horrific car chases where they're chasing some kid for a suspended license, and the kid runs through an intersection at 100 miles an hour and kills a family coming home from school, where they could just, you know, put the helicopter in the air, follow the kid home, arrest them then. But the Charleston video is just shocking. Yeah. And we've got another one that happened in the last 24 hours. A 73-year-old sort of police volunteer. We used to have a posse, literally a posse here in Fulton County. You could get a badge and ride around with the officers and have some law enforcement powers. In the course of an arrest, he uses his gun instead of the taser and kills guys. And, you know, first of all, I love police officers. 73 is a really good retirement age for anything where you have to use a weapon. That should be issue number one. Secondly, we have enough officers that are properly trained that we need the auxiliary police force for retired guys that are sitting around having nothing to do. So I feel very strongly about that. And these are just tragic, tragic situations that I guess it's up to the video now to make the law enforcement correct their behavior.
All right, buddy. Ray Giudice, very interesting stuff. 404-964-4185 at Ray Giudice. Get his app as well. Let's talk some college football.